But you sent your Son to die on the cross for us and to give us eternal life. And then you gave us the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and to be our partner in life. Lord, when I look at everything in the world, Lord, I look and I see that I've already won because what you did for me on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Dearly Father, I pray that you anoint this message tonight. Father, this message has been ringing in my heart and my spirit for days. Father, I thank you that you are the solid rock which we build our life upon. You're the cornerstone. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know what else to say, but thank you. Anoint the words that come from my mouth, Father. Remove self. Remove any indication, Father, of anything but you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on the pillar of faith. Faith. You know, everyone in life has faith in something. The question is, for the world, what do they have faith in? Because as for us as believers, our faith is secure in the one who died for us. Our faith is secure and built upon that cornerstone that the builders and the world rejected, but we have accepted because of His love. He is a faithful and loving God. I know I've said that several times already, but I'm just reminded so much tonight of His faithfulness and His love. The cornerstone of our faith is Jesus Christ. That cornerstone cannot be shaken. It cannot be moved. It cannot be ignored by anyone. Because when you find the cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, your life begins to be built upon the solid foundation of His love and of who He is. See, there are three pillars as believers we build everything upon. First is the cornerstone of Christ, and we also build upon faith, hope, and love. So tonight we're going to look at faith. And I'm reminded of the story in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, where I grew up at, where my parents' house is, there's this big, huge rock right near it. And when my grandparents began to build the house, they tried to remove this rock. It would not move. Everything else around that rock began to shake and quake. It just kept doing that. And my family realized that we cannot move this rock, so we might as well build our house next to this rock. And if that rock where I live cannot be moved, how much more can your life not be moved if you build upon the rock and solid foundation of Jesus Christ? It won't be moved. Everyone else will try to move it, try to say, well, this isn't real. But every time they tried to move the cornerstone, they began to shake and quake because the power of God is being revealed. And the rains descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat on the house and it did not fall. Isn't it good to know as believers that when the wind and the rain and the waves and the flood comes in our life, it will shake us a little bit, but guess what? We will not be destroyed. Because our faith is rooted in something stronger and deeper than what the world has ever known. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. And it blew and beat on the house and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And I'm reminded of Mr. T from the A-Team. He always said, I pity the fool. So when I see someone whose life is not built upon the foundation, I pity that person. Because I know they would have heard the Word of God, not just in church, but with the witness they received from their family and friends, and they build their house on the rock, then they would not be destroyed by everything that comes along. Because we build on the cornerstone, and our faith is built in this holy faith which we have, we will not be destroyed. It's the same for everyone else. You know, a lot of people say salvation is hellfire insurance. I like to think of it's insurance for everything in life. When the winds come and the waves come and the flood comes, guess what? I'm insured by one who took the cross for me. I'm insured by Jesus Christ. And because of that, I will not be destroyed. Because the one that I put my insurance is always going to be there when I claim His Word. And the rains descended, the flood came, and the wind blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Kind of makes you feel bad for Washington, D.C., since they built themselves on a swamp. That's the only political joke I'm going to do tonight. The wise man built his life on the pillars of the kingdom of God. The fool built his life on what the world said he needed to do to be successful. But 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, "Now abide faith, hope, and love, and these three, but the greatest of these is love." The love of God is in your faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is evidence of things hoped for. So the love of God is even in the things that you hope for. So these three remain. So we're going to discuss faith tonight. And the best definition of faith is Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I can't see tomorrow, but I have faith it's going to be there when I wake up. I can't know what the next thing holds in the weeks and months ahead, but I do know that the Lord Jesus Christ will be there for me because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And since He's the same, if He was with me in the past, He's with me now, He's with me in the future. So instead of trying to follow my own plans and do my own thing and build what I want to build, I'd rather build on the foundation that Christ laid out for me. I'd rather build my life on faith and hope and love in Jesus Christ. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. I heard a minister one time, he said he went after God revealed to him what the scripture went, and he went to a church and he said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." And they're like, "Oh, we get it. Is faith now?" No, it's not a question. It is a statement of truth and fact. Now faith is. That means faith requires to be for me and you to be active in what we believe. We can't just say we believe it and not live it. We have to live it out as believers. And as a youth pastor, I've been with other youth groups and other ministries before, and I know that they're, and I'm speaking to the young people, I know that you, there comes a point in your life where you have to decide to own this faith for yourself. You can't live off mom and daddy's faith. You can't live off grandma and grandpa's faith. At some point in your life, you got to step up and say, "This is my faith. This is what I believe." Because you're going to face hardships and persecutions in school. And if you go to college, you're going to face them there too. Because the world is going to try to knock the faith that you have out of you. But if you are rooted and grounded in the rock, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter the wind that they bring, the waves and the floods that come in your life. Because you'll be able to say that my faith in Jesus is secure. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. For me, that point in my life came when I was 14 years old. And I've shared this testimony before, but I'm going to share part of it again. And I was about to commit suicide. And I said, "God, if you're real, you need to show up right now where it's all over." And as soon as I said that prayer, I turned and right beside me was my Bible. It wasn't there before. But it was there that time. And I opened up the Word of God and I read it. And something clicked on the inside of me and I said, this is what I believe. This is who I'm living for. I have a purpose and a destiny in my life because of Jesus Christ. And a few years later, I was called into ministry. I didn't tell anybody. Let me tell you something. There's sometimes God tells you to do something. If you don't do it, He's going to tell someone else in your life what it was. They're going to call you out. My youth pastor came to me a few days later. And he said, actually, a couple months later, he said, God told me you're calling the ministry. I want to let you know that you're preaching next Sunday. Take care. Bye. And I was shocked because I didn't tell a single person about that. I didn't. I wanted to be originally. Let me tell you something. This is a comedy right now if I tell you this. But I originally wanted to be the president of the United States. What I felt like I was called to do. So when God called me the ministry the first time, I said, I know what I'm going to do. Get thee behind me, Satan. And the Lord spoke up and said, it's not the enemy, it's me, son. And I felt convicted in my heart. And the Lord kept ministering to me night and day until my youth pastor said that. And I preached my first message. We actually had one of our youth a couple months ago share his first ever sermon. And his sermon, he thought it was going to be about 30 minutes. It was 10 minutes. My first sermon was about 10 to 15 minutes. And then my youth pastor had to come up and elaborate everything I said to expand it. But I want to tell you what, guys, when you find out what God's called you to do, it's the greatest thing in life. Because you know what your purpose is. Anyway, enough of that. Let me get back to this. I want to share that. Verse 2 says, For by the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. So that means God spoke everything into existence. And if God is powerful enough, if His words are powerful enough for Him to speak everything into existence, imagine how powerful your words are, because you're creating the same image of God. And if your words are powerful, you need to be careful what you say. You need to be careful what you say about yourself and others. Because if you keep looking down and say, well, you know, I'm worthless. Nobody wants me. It's horrible. It's going to get worse. It was bad yesterday. It's bad today. It's just going to get bad tomorrow. Why can't I catch a break? Does anyone even care about me? Let me tell you something. When you do that, you begin to speak negative words in your life and you begin to have what you say. So instead of saying the problem, the one everyone else says about you, use the faith. Use the pillar of faith and say, you know what? I'm a child of the Most High God. I was born with a purpose. I was made to serve God. And I will not allow anyone to take my joy. I will not allow anyone to destroy what God has for me. Because when you begin to do that, you begin to realize who you are. The more I praise God, the more I learn about who I'm meant to be as well. The more I grow closer to Him, the more the voices of the enemy and those that rise against me begin to be silent to me. The old song used to say, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into His glory and grace. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. Let me tell you something. It doesn't just grow strangely dim. You don't even begin to listen what they have to say. I heard a minister one time. He said, He says the enemy comes and wants you to doubt what God says. So when he tells you to doubt something, you tell him, I doubt your doubt. Tell the devil, I doubt your doubt. Be quiet. And begin to hear the voice of God, what the Word has to say. Look, if God spoke everything into existence, what will you speak into existence in your life? What are the things that you need to start proclaiming about your life, about your finances, about your friendships, about your future, about your hope? Because if your parents run you down, don't listen to it. Listen to what your Heavenly Father says about you. I had a friend in high school. His mom used to say some horrible, mean things to him. I wish you were dead. I wish that when you go off that youth camp to help Jonathan, I hope you drown in that pool. You were a mistake. And I never fully understood why God put him in my path at one point until later on he began to tell me what his mom says. And I began to tell him what the Word of God says about him. Amen. And now he's married. He has a baby girl. And he's happy. Why? Because God put me in the right situation at the right time. And God will do the same to you, young people. God will put you in, and everybody, God will put you in the right situation at the right time for you to declare the Word of God to other people so they begin to see themselves as God meant for them to be seen. I don't know who that's for tonight, but let me tell you something. When everyone else rises up against you, you have a standard in Jesus who will rise up for you. There is power in faith in Jesus. And we have stories, countless stories, from the moment that Jesus was resurrected until now about how God delivered and made something new of someone. Look at the Apostle Paul, how everything changed in his life. I haven't even gotten to my second point yet. But I'm just being obedient to God, and that's what I try to do. See, the elders had a good testimony because of their faith. They faced tests and trials and hardships, but they were determined no matter what rose up against them, they would not be moved or shaken. They made a decision to come what may, they will be bold and fearless before the world, before their accusers. They knew that God is faithful, and they trusted in Him to fulfill what He said He would do. Faith gives you the ability to stand strong in the midst of all that goes on around you. And after you have done all, after you've spoken in faith, after you have prayed and believed, here's what you do. You continue to stand upon the promise of God. Continue to stand in your faith. Continue to believe what God has. Let's look at verse 3 again. It says, by faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are not seen are made the things which are. The things that are visible were made by the things which are not seen. Someone asked me one time, you believe in God, right? And I said, yes. They said, well, how can you explain God? You can't see Him. I said, you're right, but I can't see the atoms that make you, do I? I can't see the molecules. I can't right now. I can't just step out and look with my own eye and see Jupiter and Pluto and all the other planets. I can't do that. I had to have a telescope. But I trust and believe that it's already there because God is at work. And if God can make the tiniest thing of an atom and use that to build the building blocks of everything in life, then I can believe Him to exist and be at work. See, we're called to live a lifestyle of faith. In Proverbs 18:21, I know you don't have that one, David, I'm just going to read it. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death are in the tongue. And I already shared this with Royal Rangers a couple weeks ago. But the power of life and death are in the tongue. So begin to speak life over yourself, over others. Speak it. You can have what you say or say what you have. I choose to have what I say. I know the reports the doctors have said to me in the past, but you guess what? I believe the better physician, one who designed my human body to begin with. And I believed his report, and I got better. Amen. I didn't deny the circumstances, but I said, I know the circumstances, but I also know there's a great big God who surrounds my circumstance. Yeah. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If I trusted everything I've seen on the news today, my life would be miserable. If I trusted, I told myself I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to go here. If I trusted what the Democrats say about Russia, I would be miserable. But I choose to believe that God is at work in my nation and not the Russians. I choose to believe it was God's divine destiny for Donald Trump to be elected, not the Russians. I choose to believe that the enemies who rise up against our country will begin to be silent in the name of Jesus. I'm believing for revival in America. Oh, I know the statistics. I know what the world is saying. But I don't believe all that. I walk by faith and not by sight. I choose to believe that the upcoming generation will be a generation on fire for God like no other generation. I choose to believe that God is going to use each and every one of these students in here tonight. I choose to believe because I walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm not moved by my feelings because there's sometimes you don't feel like praising God because you're hurt and everything else is aching in your body. But sometimes it may happen in my body. But I praise God anyway because He deserves the highest praise. There's sometimes we feel miserable, but that shouldn't stop us from opening the Word of God. Because guess what? When I begin to look at the Word of God, my body begins to line up with what His testimony says about me. I choose to believe because my faith is built upon a cornerstone, which is Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I will not allow anything or anyone to distract me from who God is. And people will say, well, aren't you concerned about everything going on in the world? I am concerned. But I know this. I have already obtained victory through Christ Jesus. I've attained it, and you have attained it as you continue to walk by faith. You have attained the victory. See, we're called to something higher. We're called to something greater because the greater one lives on the inside of us. The people, the believers who live by how they feel, they're shaky and they're flaky. They're shaky because they're scared and they're flaky because how they believe determines by what's popular sometimes and everything else. I'm not in this because it's popular. True believers don't walk the walk of faith because it's popular. No, we walk it because despite what the world may say, we choose to walk by faith because God is the one that we're living for. I'm not living for today. I'm living for eternity. You know, there's a debate going on in one of the major denominations in our country right now, and they actually are going to vote later on next year on the whole issue of homosexual ministers. Because some of their churches have been ordaining bishops over their district who are homosexual. And they've been appointing ministers when the actual global body says you're not supposed to do that. You see, they're tossed about because of what is popular. They want to get the numbers. Listen, I want to get numbers too, but I want to get numbers saved and living right for the kingdom of God. I'm not in this to fill my church up. I'm in this to fill the kingdom of God up. That's what I'm in this for. There are so many believers and there's so many Christians. And I'm not trying to make this thing, but there are so many who claim to be Christians who don't even follow correct doctrine anymore. Because they care more about what the world declares they need to do. I've heard ministers say, well, you know, times have changed. If Paul was around today, he might not say that. Don't even try to guess what the Apostle Paul says. Read his word for himself. He already said what he believes. Well, you got to look at the context situation. Yeah, I am, but I'm also looking at the context of my generation, of my situation, and I'm saying the same word that was relevant then is relevant now. I'm not going to be tossed back and forth. No, I choose to be rock solid on the rock, the foundation of Jesus Christ. I choose for my faith to be real and active and alive. And that's what we are called to do as believers. And I know that all of us do live by faith, that we're all caught, that we strive to honor God. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 4 through 7. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 through 7. This is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And by the way, they're still accepting members. Just like the Pro Football Hall of Fame, they accept new members. Guess what? The Faith Hall of Fame accept new members. Your name will be listed in heaven. That's what your name is going to be listed as. And I don't think God's going to put a bust of you up in like a big long hallway. No, He's just going to point to you and say, "That's my son. That's my daughter. They lived by faith." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 through 7 says this. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Why did he offer a better sacrifice? Because he was devoted with his whole heart. He wanted to give God the best of what he had. And as people of faith, we dedicate and try to give all that we can to God, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts through it being dead still speaks. Man, I want one of those lives that if God tarries, then my life will still speak of my desire to be faithful and righteous. And I want that for all of us here tonight. Because I want when they speak of Pastor Jerry, and I know that they will, that he is a man of faith and righteousness. Pastor Steve Edmondson, I know that about him. I've known him for a little while, but I know he has a heart after God. Those type of people who choose to willingly and say that despite everything, I'm going to give my full heart and devotion to God. They will be spoken of years later. John Wesley, for example. John Wesley is still spoken of in a high regard because of his faith. Martin Luther, who started the Protestant movement. All these people, Paul, we can go on and on and on. But these people chose to willingly live that way. And I'm reading a biography right now about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I can tell you that his life is his name is still known as a man of faithfulness to God. And you see, even though the enemy might try to cover up those things, he cannot cover up the move of God. Hallelujah. He cannot cover it up. Look, he thought he had Jesus covered up for 3 days in the tomb, but Jesus got up. Hallelujah. Jesus was just taking a nap in there for 3 days. And then he woke up and got up. Hey, isn't that great? He got up so you can get up from whatever you're facing tonight. We rise up. Hallelujah. Verse 5, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God." You want to please God? Live by faith. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is reward of those who diligently seek him." Seek after God and know that he's with you. I'm going to go ahead and by faith, verse 7, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen." Noah knew there was a flood going to happen. He didn't see it for a couple hundred years. For years. But you know what? He built the boat anyway. Can you imagine all of his neighbors coming by? "Noah, what you doing today?" "I'm building a boat." "Why?" "A flood's coming." "What's a flood, Noah?" "Just wait and see. You're going to see it." You know, so he built that boat even though people thought he was crazy. Verse 7, "warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness which is according to faith." Your connection to God is not a bloodline to Abraham. Your connection to God is made by the blood of Jesus. So you're tied in with these men of God because they are your brothers. And if your brother can do it, you can do it too in Jesus' name. See, we walk by faith and not by sight because we desire to please God. The Bible says that God seeks to and fro the earth, seeking those that he may show himself strong in. And you do so by having your life built upon the pillar of faith. See, people that can show himself strong in are the people of faith. And my last scripture, and I'm going to close. Romans 10, 16 through 17. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to grow your faith? Then get in the book. You want to grow your faith? Then guess what? It's going to require you to praise God. It's going to require you to step out of your comfort zone. It might require you, sometimes we listen to worship music in the car, and at the red light, just throw your hands up, start worshiping God. Everybody else might look at you like you're crazy, but you can just smile at them and say, I'm worshiping my God. Because I remember in high school, I'm going to my high school, and I got my worship music going, and I'm just jamming along to what's playing on the radio, and I'm just worshiping God. And people looked at me like, what is he doing? And I just like, hey. I'm worshiping Jesus. That's what I'm doing. See, God chooses those who desire to be faithful. He chooses those to work in who are willing to take a step of faith. One of my favorite scenes from a movie, and I'm going to close with this. This is like my second close. I don't know. Pastor Ricky sometimes has three or four, so bear with me. But one of my favorite scenes that spoke volumes to me even as a young kid was Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And I know you're thinking, how does this relate? Let me explain. He had to take a leap of faith to get across to the other side in the cave. He could not see what was before him. He couldn't see it. And so he just took the first step. And the bridge appeared. Here's what we're called to do to build our life on the pillar of faith. It requires us to say, God, you're my cornerstone. My faith is in you. I know that you're building me into something strong. But I also know that I need to be willing to take a step. So, Lord, I don't know what is directly ahead of me. I can't even see what's beneath my feet. But I'm going to trust you enough to take that step of faith. And when we do that, God is able to use us. So if you want to be someone that God uses, which I know all of us do. And I feel like some of this is just an affirmation to some of you what you've been going through right now in your life. You just got to take that step and continue to walk. There might be a storm raging on in your life. There might be things taking place tonight. But if you just take that step of faith, God's going to step with you and guide you to the next side. We build our life on a pillar of faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. Father, I pray for each person that is under the sound of my voice and those watching by live stream. Father, I pray that we would continue to build our life on the pillar of faith. Lord, I know that some of us might be going through storms and trials right now. And Father, we don't have the strength, but you do. We know, Lord, that you desire to move and operate in our life and for us to be used by you. And Lord, some of us don't even know what's in front of us. We don't even know what's beneath us. But Father, give us a willingness to take that step of faith to move forward with you, because, Lord, we know that you're with us. Let us speak words of life let us speak your words, Lord Jesus. If we can all close around the altar tonight, Bert would come to the altar. Let us close around at the altar.
At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart.
If you need prayer tonight,
away,
Pastor Jerry, Pastor Stephen,
it was
myself are here to pray
by
for you.
Faith I received.
Hallelujah.
My sight. Now I am happy all the day. At the
thank
cross,
you, Lord Jesus.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Let's seek the Lord to give us strength for what lies before us, for what is taking place in our lives.